WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Virginia's Democrats and Republicans split on impeachment in the U.S. House. Meanwhile, in Richmond, the General Assembly is back in session, and House Speaker Eileen Fillerkorn strips committee assignments from three Republicans, including two from the WMRA area, for their vocal support for overturning November's election results. And one of those delegates was part of the mob on January 6th. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, January 14th. GOP representatives from the WMRA area joined the majority of Republicans in the House who voted against impeaching President Trump a second time. 6th District Representative Ben Klein said, quote, attempts to impeach the president in his final 8 days in office will only further fuel the political divide. Representative Bob Good, newly sworn in from the 5th District, also voted against impeachment. Good has repeated many of the baseless claims and misinformation that President Trump has alleged about rampant voter fraud. All of Virginia's Democratic representatives, including Abigail Spanberger of the 7th District and Jennifer Wexton of the 10th, voted in favor of impeachment for Trump's role in inciting the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol last week. On the first day of the 2021 General Assembly, House Speaker Eileen Fillerkorn stripped three GOP lawmakers, including one from the Shenandoah Valley, of key committee assignments due to their vocal support for overturning November's election results. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports the speaker removed Delegate Ronnie Campbell of Rockbridge County from his seat on the courts panel. Fillerkorn also stripped Delegate Mark Cole from Fredericksburg of his seat on the elections panel, and Delegate Dave LaRocque from Northern Virginia of his seat on the transportation panel. The three delegates signed on to a letter to Vice President Mike Pence seeking the nullification of Virginia's Electoral College votes after the state swung decidedly for Biden 54% to 44% in November. LaRocque also participated in the mob march on the U.S. Capitol on January the 6th, and Loudoun County's top elected official is calling for his removal. LaRocque represents the 33rd House District, which covers parts of Frederick, Clark, and Loudoun counties. He is the only Republican remaining in Northern Virginia's House of Delegates delegation. In a statement, LaRocque condemned those who forced their way into the Capitol, but he said for the most part the event was an exercise in the right to peaceably assemble. The insurrection, however, was anything but peaceful as the mob attacked police and invaded the offices of lawmakers and staff. At least five people died. Loudoun County Board of Supervisors Chair Phyllis Randall and Supervisor Julie Briskman say they will introduce a resolution calling for LaRocque's resignation. All right, let's get to the first day of the 2021 General Assembly. Here's more on the session's first day from Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope.
Members of the House of Delegates scabbled into a virtual session, and members of the state Senate are socially distanced in a building away from the Capitol. Although senators are now able to participate virtually if they feel like their health is at risk, the General Assembly session for 2021 will be constrained by a tight calendar and safety protocols. But Quentin Kidd at Christopher Newport University says he still expects many of the same ideological debates this year.
Mandatory prison sentences or not, decriminalizing marijuana or not, removing the restrictions on the automatic restoration of the right to vote for felons or not. The normal things that Republicans and Democrats normally argue about.
But don't expect a session with a lot of earth-shattering legislation during an election year, says Stephen Farnsworth at the University of Mary Washington.
I tend to think that this is going to be the year of the cautious caucus, the lawmakers who don't want to make too much in the way of big changes in this short session right before an election year, particularly when you also add in the fact that they're going to be running in districts that haven't even been designed yet.
One of the seats in the Senate will be draped in black for the duration of the session because of the death of Senator Ben Chafin. He died of COVID-19 last month, and his seat will be empty for the duration of the session. A special election for his Southwest Virginia district is scheduled for March 23rd.
Yet again, this session will bring up a familiar topic of disagreement, abortion, and Michael has that story.
Abortion is not covered by health insurance plans under the Affordable Care Act. Senator Jennifer McClellan is a Democrat from Richmond who says that's an oversight she wants to fix.
Abortion is the only legal medical procedure that's banned in the health care exchange in Virginia, and that is solely based on ideological and political beliefs, not on the actual procedure itself. And so this would make Virginia the first state in the South to remove that ban.
Victoria Cobb at the Family Foundation says taxpayers should not be forced to pay for abortion.
Virginians have said over and over in polling that they do not support forced funding of abortion by taxpayers. The billion-dollar abortion industry continues to demand that Virginians violate their consciences by funding abortion. And taxpayers just shouldn't be asked to subsidize this billion-dollar industry.
Delegate Sally Hudson is a Democrat from Charlottesville who's introduced a similar version in the House. She says she wants to make sure women who want an abortion but can't afford it have access to a procedure her bill declares an essential health benefit.
In his annual State of the Commonwealth address Wednesday night, Governor Ralph Northam outlined a plan to tackle some of Virginia's most pressing issues. Virginia Public Radio's Kat Modlin Jackson has more.
One by one, the governor went through them. A global pandemic, an economic crisis, racial injustice, and last week's insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Nevertheless, Northam stayed optimistic.
Because while we have just come through a tough year that brought everyone pain and sacrifice, I've seen something remarkable. I have seen you taking care of one another.
He's hoping the state will soon see more, like more coronavirus vaccines, more aid for small businesses, and more pay for educators by turning a teacher bonus into a teacher raise.
Tonight, I have good news. Revenues look good, and we're going to have more money than we thought.
That wasn't the only time revenue came up. Describing it as a cash crop, Northam said legalizing and taxing marijuana could bring new money to the Old Dominion and end some of the racial inequities in law enforcement.
We've done the research, and we can do this the right way, leading with social equity, public health, and public safety.
It was one of several changes to the criminal justice system Northam says he wants to see. As the address wound down, the Virginia governor also called for an end to the death penalty. I'm Kat Modlin Jackson.
Republicans say that speech was misguided, and Michael Pope has that report.
Republicans say Governor Ralph Northam's priorities for the General Assembly session don't align with concerns they're hearing from their constituents. The governor outlined things like legalizing marijuana and passing a constitutional amendment to restore voting rights to people convicted of felonies. But Republican delegate Amanda Batten says she has not heard about those issues in her district.
I'm in the historic triangle area, so we've lost a lot of revenue in our area due to Busch Gardens being closed. And as a result, our small businesses are really suffering. So when folks are struggling to get by on a day-to-day basis because they're out of work or their kids aren't in school, then, you know, that's not their priority.
Northam spent a considerable amount of time in his speech dedicated to making the case that Virginia should end the death penalty. Republican Senator Ryan McDougall of Hanover County says that would be a mistake.
I remember when I was prosecuting, there was an individual who went into an office to commit a robbery, ended up killing a cleaning lady with a hammer. It was a crime so heinous, so vile, that person deserved the death penalty, and it should be an option.
One suggestion from the governor some Republicans say they can get behind, removing the statue of former Senator Harry Byrd from Capitol Square. Republicans are quick to point out that the man who led massive resistance was a Democrat, so they say they won't stand in the way of any effort to remove that statue. Michael Pope.
Finally today, the U.S. Forest Service this week approved the Mountain Valley Pipeline's route through part of the Jefferson National Forest in West Virginia and Virginia. Last month, an environmental impact statement from the Forest Service supported plans to construct the pipeline across 3.5 miles of forest along the Virginia-West Virginia border west of Roanoke. The proposed route for the pipeline also has to be reviewed by the Bureau of Land Management and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Several conservation groups are challenging the approval of the 42-inch natural gas pipeline through national forest land. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Thursday.